Hello, Dr. Laura here. Today I'm talking about the 4 R's of digestive healing and why it's so important that we go in order to make your hormonal healing journey a complete one. We cannot fix your hormones without fixing your digestion, so I want to start with talking about how these 4 phases have been created and how we treat them in order so that we can have full digestive and hormonal health. So when we look at the 4 phases, we have number 1 is remove, number 2 is replace, number 3 is re-inoculate, number 4 is repair. Now, often when I'm working with my patients, I will add in a 5th step to that, and that is rebalance. The rebalancing phase is basically undoing all of the bad habits or the dietary or the lifestyle things that got you there in the first place. So the rebalance part is literally just about getting you back to the basics after things have healed so that you don't actually have to remove, replace all over again. So let's just get started. This is why I'm talking about 4 out of the 5, because the 5th one is really individualized and it depends how you got there in the first place. For example, maybe it was food poisoning, or maybe it was an unhealthy diet, or maybe it was high stress, or maybe it was a combination of those things. Maybe you had to be on a really long course of antibiotics for whatever reason, and that's contributed to your issues that you now face today. So let's talk about your digestion, and let's talk about the removal phase. So this is one of the most important phases, and the reason why, and arguably the most important phase, and the reason why is because I talk about the microbiome. And this is a compilation of your good and bad bacteria. When I refer to the microbiome, I always talk about a community. And so when we look at the microbiome, this is a compilation of good and bad bacteria. More good does not equal better. We need to make sure everything is in balance. Everything has a home and everything has a place. But some things aren't going to want to take up residence if the home is not adequate, if the community is not adequate. So I always tell my patients, it's like you're moving into a neighborhood with your family. Think about the things that you would like to see in your neighborhood. Is it a specific school? Is it a specific recreational activity? Is it a specific outdoor activity? Maybe you want a park nearby. Maybe you're looking for a certain backyard. Maybe you're looking for a certain type of neighbor. Like maybe they have kids, for example, or maybe they don't have kids, right? We're all looking for specific things in our neighborhood, and bacteria do the same thing. I always talk about it in terms of good and bad bacteria. So let's just say the good guys are not robbers. The bad guys are robbers or burglars. And so when you're moving into a community, you're going to determine whether or not you want to move to that community, let's say based on the crime rate in the community. And so if you are a person who is not a burglar and you move to a community that is full of burglars, you may rethink your choice. And so you may be there, you might stay for a little bit, and then you decide, oh no, this is not my community. And this is exactly what happens with good bacteria and bad bacteria when they decide whether they're gonna take up residence or not. And this is why a lot of the time when you're taking probiotics, this is why my patients say they take probiotics and maybe they don't work, or maybe they only work when they're taking them. Maybe it's only, oh, I take probiotics, I feel good when I take them, and then when I stop, everything goes back to how it was. And truly, it shouldn't be like that, right? We should be able to create an environment, create a community in our gut that really fosters the development and fosters us actually growing those bacteria and having them plant roots and having them grow themselves so they create their community. We shouldn't have to take a pill every single day to replenish that, because those bacteria should want to stay. And so here's my point when we circle back to phase 1, which is remove. This is why this is the most important point, because if we don't remove those overgrowths, say we have H. pylori, or you have candida, or you just have an overgrowth of bad bacteria, strep, staph, the list goes on. Maybe you have a worm, maybe you have a parasite, whatever is overgrowing has to be removed. Because until that is removed, it is going to scare away the good bacteria. So we can take all the probiotics we want, but if we do not remove the problem, we cannot find a solution. So the removal phase is the one that I really stress with my clients in my practice. And this is actually the reason why I recommend doing digestive stool testing. Because at the end of the day, I can always guess what's going on, but I can't see into your microbiome. And so when I do a stool test, I actually can see the microbiome. I can see exactly which bacteria. I can see how much overgrowth. I can see if you have candida overgrowth. I can see if you have H. pylori overgrowth. I can see if there is worms or parasites, and all of those things are going to require different interventions. And from my experience, I will say that the symptoms don't necessarily correlate with the outcome of what's actually going on. I can have two patients with the exact same symptom profile and their microbiome is vastly different. Do I know why? No, I have no idea. I think there's a number of factors that go into your symptom profile. I think there's an nervous system component, there's a genetic component of how you deal with things, plus there's environmental components, right? Not everybody's eating the same way, and so maybe their body's handling it a little bit differently. Age has a factor, there's a lot of different factors. So when I can actually see what's going on in your gut, that gives me an opportunity to intervene with evidence-based interventions to say, okay, this is what we need to remove, this is for how long. And that's the most critical phase, because once I can actually remove it, symptoms improve. And now it's a matter of making sure that doesn't happen again. Rather than throwing in probiotics and saying, let's see if it works, we could guess, we could give our best guess, but it doesn't give us the answer that we want. So when I look at the testing, I say, okay, phase one removal is going to be 4 to 6 weeks. We check in at 4 weeks, we see how we're doing. At that point, we go from symptoms. We look at your symptoms and we see, are they improving? Do we have to continue this removal? Can we be sure that whatever bacteria is overgrown is probably gone based on your symptom profile? Then we move to phase two. Phase two is replace. Replace is really important as phase two because this is replacing stomach acid. Now, your stomach acid levels are really important for a variety of things. Breaking down your food, digesting and absorbing food, making sure that we are inactivating viruses and infections. If your stomach acid levels are too low, you're going to be much more likely to have an infection come in. An infection comes in, it's not killed by your stomach acid, it has the opportunity to grow. And so we need to make sure that we are replacing that stomach acid, that we are stimulating your cells to replace stomach acid so that that doesn't happen. That's replace. And again, on the GI map test, the stool test that I do, we look at levels of stomach acid because we can't always assume that stomach acid levels are low. And in fact, I usually see them normal or low in patients. So if they're normal, there's really no point in adding things to support stomach acid production when that's not the problem. Third step is called reinoculate. This is where probiotics come in. And this is where we've already gotten rid of the bad guys. We're making stomach acid to make sure the bad guys come or don't come back. And now we're making room for the good guys and we're going to flood the good guys in. Now, depending on what type of overgrowth you had or what type of imbalances you had, this is where I choose a specific probiotic that's going to work for you to bring in those specific strains to make sure that the right good guys are growing. If your test shows me that you have a ton of lactobacillus or your lactobacillus is normal, I'm probably not going to give you a probiotic with lactobacillus, even though most run-of-the-mill probiotics have a lactobacillus. So this is where the individualization happens when it comes to reinoculating. And then the last phase is repairing. So now that we've gotten rid of the bad guys, we've normalized stomach acid levels, we've brought in some good guys, now we have to make sure the landscape is there so that we can continue these processes, because these supplements are not something that you're supposed to be on for long term. This is just to fix the problem. This is our therapeutic plan. And so we need to make sure that repair is helping to reduce inflammation. This is where we're looking at maybe dietary changes if we haven't done them already. And I'll just circle back to when we're doing gut healing, yes, making dietary changes is critical, and it is always part of the repairing and the rebalancing stages. However, I'm going to say something that you might think is controversial. I don't do a lot of dietary changes in the removal and the reinoculate phases or the replace phases. So I don't do them really in the first three phases. Why? A number of reasons. However, let's just take candida for an example. If candida is really high, this is an overgrowth of fungus, and there's a lot of diets out there called anti-candida diets. They remove sugar, processed foods, they remove refined carbohydrates, they remove alcohol, they remove yeast. There's a number of things. It's a very restrictive diet. And I'm not against the diet, but I will say, whatever bacteria is growing and flourishing at the time when we do testing is growing and flourishing because of the diet that you're currently under. The diet that you eat, the lifestyle that you choose, the foods that you eat. And so when we change to an anti-candida diet, let's say, to treat this symptom, you're going to feel better. However, your diet is really restricted. So what's happening is you're lessening the foods that help grow that candida, but you're not killing it off. You're not removing it. So when you do that, you're just lowering the threshold. You're lowering the level of candida and you're not eradicating it. So what happens as soon as you fall off the wagon, have a cheat day, or do anything different outside of that very restrictive diet, you're gonna have symptoms. Things are gonna worsen. Things are gonna come back. Then we have this spiral of clients who are in these restrictive diets for what feels like a lifetime. So with digestive testing, I believe that food freedom can be created. And so yes, when we get to the repair and rebalance, I may recommend we do a little bit of an anti-candida diet to help bring down inflammation while we're repairing things and then slowly reintroduce things. But in my opinion, in a healthy gut, you should be eating a variety of different foods. You shouldn't have to restrict yourself. There are obviously exceptions to that if you have allergies and things like that. There are some people who cannot tolerate certain foods. That's okay. But I don't want you going your whole life having a restrictive diet. So that is why it is important to go through the healing stages of gut health in order to better your hormonal health. If you have questions, please comment below. Thanks for watching.